Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Matthew 6. I read verse 33 as text verse for the sermon. Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, as we have read, from Lord's Day 45, question and answer 118. The theme for the sermon is prayer and priority. Prayer and priority. Congregation, there was a couple. They were retired, and they intended to spend their time in the mission work, on the mission field. He had been a professor, so he had the ability, the gift to teach, and that was needed because it was a Bible school. And so they visited the mission field to get to know the people and the situation, and the missionary took this couple in his car, and he was showing them the people, showing their housing, how they lived, showing their situation, their poverty, their needs of help, of love, of care, of teaching. But pretty soon it became clearer that this couple became kind of irritated. He would show them another part of the mission field, show them more people in need and struggling. They got tired of it. They got bored by it. "Oh, we have seen enough of this. Oh, what do you want to see then?" Well, they wanted to see where they could find the good things of life. A good restaurant, a good place to get a good coffee, where can we buy a new newspaper? You know, these are things we want to, we want to find, to have, and we are here. They were very much interested in these comfortable things, these good things of life. It felt like these things were more important to them than the need of the people. It felt like there was no real love for these people in their misery. Their heart was not inclined to serve them, but their heart was inclined to serve who? Well, more to serve themselves. And this scripture part says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other." And we will understand that. We all understand and have to agree about it. You can really dedicate only to one thing with your heart. Only one thing can have the highest place in your heart. The love of your heart, isn't it? And we know the examples in the Old Testament that against the will of God, man, by certain circumstances, married more than one wife, like Jacob. And then we read he loved the one. Yeah, he gave his heart to one of them. And that's the same with all of us. Something has our heart. And it cannot be two things. Only one thing can be the chief thing that we seek in our lives. Our text verse says, "Seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Seek ye first. So you could say that is a matter of priority. It should be the most important thing in your life. And that's also in prayer. Prayer itself should be a matter of priority. If someone says, "Oh, I would love to pray more, but I do not have the time to spend more time in prayer," then you say something that is really not true. Of course you have time. You got 24 hours in a day. Well, 24 hours, but there are other things I have to do. Right. So those other things have priority over prayer, isn't it? Prayer is a matter of priority, and there is time to pray if it has the priority in our lives and our hearts to seek the kingdom of God first. The Catechism is teaching us about prayer in this question 118. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? If we pay attention to this question, we already get instruction about prayer. It says, what has God commanded us to ask of Him? You might expect that it would say, what has God allowed us to ask of Him? But it says, what has God commanded us to ask of Him? So prayer is not only a matter of gratitude, like the Catechism teaches. The chief thing, the chief part of gratitude, that's also true, but it's all simply something God is commanding. He is commanding us to live a life of prayer. He is commanding us to ask from Him all things necessary, all things we need in this life. So there are many text verses in Scripture teaching us that. I hope you are aware of that. God is commanding us to pray. Not something that He says, okay, you can do it or not. It's up to you. No, it is something God is commanding us. That's why parents teach their children to pray, isn't it? While they are still very young, they take their hands and fold their hands, and they say the words, and the little child is repeating the words. Teaching your children to pray. And when they grow older, you tell them to pray, to go to the Lord with all their needs, and especially the need of forgiveness of sin, of salvation through Christ. Because a parent is, at least, should be convinced of the need of prayer, and that God is commanding us to ask all things in prayer of Him. And that's a way to glorify God. We can all see that, isn't it? If you ask something from someone else, you kind of give honor to that person. You acknowledge that he or she is in a position to help you. That's why some people have a hard time to do that. To acknowledge that you cannot help yourself. I need your help, please. I cannot do it. We can have a hard time with that. I can take care of myself. That's what we like, isn't it? That feels good. I'm self-sufficient. But that's not true at all. And so to pray is a way to give glory to God. To acknowledge that He is the one who is able to provide in your need and to help you. But also that you trust that He is willing to do that. So prayer should be a matter of faith. To trust the Lord. To trust Him like He has revealed Himself in His Word. So God is teaching us this in many ways in His Word. That He is commanding us to pray. Like Matthew 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Or Psalm 50, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Can you tell me something about your prayer life? How is your prayer life? How do you experience prayer? Is it a matter of joy for you? Or is it a matter of a duty? You have to do it like a burden. You do it, but you do not rejoice in it. That could be. It could also be that you struggle with prayer. And that's not strange, because we read it also in Scripture that even the disciples asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. So that's a prayer. That's a good prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. If you struggle with a question how to pray, help bring it before the Lord. Lay it before the Lord that He would help you. We read in Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So God is sending His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in the hearts of God's children, because it's the Holy Spirit Himself who has given them spiritual life, who has given them faith, and that Holy Spirit will never forsake them, never leave their hearts, is dwelling in the heart, and that the Holy Spirit is helping in prayer. Maybe you struggle with the fact that there is no desire to pray. You know God is commanding to pray, but I do not have the inclination in my heart to pray. I have to confess that I am so prayerless. That's good that you confess it. Don't confess it only to me. Confess it to the Lord. Lord, oh, be merciful to me. I am such a lack of prayer. I am so inclined to neglect prayer. I actually do neglect prayer. That's a shame. Be ashamed about it. And many times it is the case that those who pray most still feel that they should pray more. Because the more you pray, the more you see how worthy the Lord is to be glorified in prayer, I should pray more, because He is so good to me. So, you know, this is the wonder that God in Scripture is revealing, that He is providing in all our needs, even our need that we should be helped in prayer, and that our hearts should be inclined to pray and to plead with the Lord. So what has God commanded us to ask of Him? It is a commandment. And the answer says, all things necessary for soul and body. All things necessary for soul and body. It's nice that the Catechism is taking this order. So prayer itself should be a matter of priority. I would encourage you to start your day with prayer. Would the Lord not bless that? If you think about this verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God. No, not just say your prayer without thinking about it in a hurry, but take time. Time to be silent before the Lord. time to depend on the Lord for this new day. Time to ask all things from the Lord that I need in this day. Wisdom to do my work, to be a father, a mother in the family, to do my study, to do what I have to do at school. All these things to bring it before the Lord. So prayer itself should be a matter of priority. The first thing. The way to start our day. But in prayer, there's also priority. There is a certain order. We will see later from the Lord's Prayer. But here in this answer, so in the Lord's Prayer, we see a beautiful order of petitions. But in this answer already, we see an order. The Catechism says, all things necessary for soul and body. So soul, you could say, the spiritual things and the material things. And the Catechism is putting the spiritual things first. All things necessary for soul and body. And that's a question tonight as well. Do we put them first? If you would think about your personal prayer life, how do we pray? And how we pray is revealing very much about how we feel. The things we feel as most necessary, we'll put them first, isn't it? They are in our mind. And we will start our prayers. Maybe fill our prayers with those things. If you have a child who is in danger, you will pray. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. You know, but I use it as an example. Those things that are strong in our minds, we put them first. So if my prayer is a prayer that I ask for all the things, the material things of this life, and I forget about my soul, it's revealing how I think about the spiritual things. And scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Catechism says, all things we should pray, all things from God necessary for soul and body. So the things necessary for your soul. Something to start your day with. To plead with the Lord. And what kind of things are we talking about when we think about the things that we need for our soul? Do you feel there's a need concerning your soul? What is your soul? God has created us with a body and a soul. You could say the soul is the invisible part of us, the inward life that we have, the inward part of us. The soul is everlasting, will exist forever, created at a certain point by God, but will exist forever and ever. And even only that, to think about that, will make it very clear how important the need of our soul is. When people die at the end of this life on earth, what happens to the soul? The soul will leave the body at that moment. And at that moment, the soul will be with the Lord in glory forever. If I am bought by his precious blood, if I am saved by Christ, I belong to him with body and soul, my soul will be with the Lord in glory immediately. Or if we did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we continue to live in enmity against God, my soul will be at that very moment in hell, where the devil is in pain in the punishment. That's what Scripture is teaching us. That Saul will exist, continue to exist forever. And on the day when Christ comes back for judgment, soul and body will be reunited. The bodies will resurrect, and the soul and body will be reunited. You could say at a moment that a person dies, there is judgment, there is the decision. Forever, which cannot be changed. But then when Christ returns, there will be like a public judgment. Everybody has to appear before his judgment seat, and then in a public way this judgment will be declared, announced and proclaimed. It's something to think about. That shows the need of our soul. Because from that day, with body and soul, we will be in glory to glorify the Lord, or we will be in darkness, in condemnation, because of our sins against the Lord. And now we get an understanding of the need of our soul. It is most important that we find shelter for our soul in Christ. And maybe you say, well, that's a one-time thing, isn't it? If you are saved once, you're saved forever. Can never be taken away. That is right. That is such a deep comfort, because after you have experienced that grace of the Lord in your life, you will experience your own weakness. You will experience the power of your old nature, your sinful nature. And if you would not have this comfort that God is faithful and will keep you, oh, you could be so discouraged and even desperate. But God will not allow that one of those that he has saved be plucked out of the hands of Christ. So that is something that it cannot be changed. That is true. But at the same time, it is true that we have a daily need for our soul. Because we have such a terrible enemy, the devil, Satan. He has one great intention: to destroy the work of the Lord, to destroy our souls. So there's a daily need for our souls to be kept and protected. Well, but you said that no one can be plucked out of the hands of Christ. That's right. But Satan can certainly do harm to our souls. If you think about examples in Scripture, if you think about David, for example, who fell in a terrible sin of adultery and even afterwards of murder. There was a teacher who was telling this history in the class and then asking the question why David did this sin. Then one child said, he did not say his morning prayer. So she understood something of the need of prayer for our soul, the need of protection by the Lord against the temptation and the snares of sin. So the Lord is commanding us to pray, and to pray for all things necessary for soul and body. Oh, our soul needs to find peace in Christ daily, to find a new and fresh sight of the sufficiency of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's like a fountain. That's like the source of living a life dedicated to the Lord. You can see that, isn't it? If you have experienced this morning in a fresh way what Christ has accomplished, and from what great judgment and condemnation he has saved you. That makes all the difference. That is the greatest motivation. That is how the Spirit is giving you the power, the intention, the desire to fight against sin and temptation of sin, to resist. It's that gratitude in your heart. That you hate sin because you see what it costed your Savior. So you pray about those things, isn't it? You start your day by prayer. Oh Lord, I need for my soul to see Christ, to see His beauty, His sufficiency, and to see that He has saved me from all my sin and iniquity. And that will fill your heart with gratitude, with peace. And peace is like a wall around your heart, your mind. Keeps you from so many temptations. Yeah, when that peace and that joy of the Lord is in your heart, then you don't need the pleasure of sin, isn't it? Because your heart is full. Oh, that it would be that way in my life every day. Can you say that? You know about that? So you pray about all things necessary for soul and body. All things. The Lord is so great and so good. He can help you in everything of daily life. That's allowed, children. You may pray that the Lord will give you wisdom at school for your work. You have a hard test and you don't know how to do it. I'll pray the Lord. Depend on Him. You glorify Him. But Pastor, I'm not worthy, and maybe I work not hard enough. Yeah, that's too bad, because you immediately feel it can take some boldness away from prayer. But I encourage you, confess it before the Lord and still plead that He would be merciful to you. Plead that He will provide in your daily needs. You may pray that He will help you to make a choice what direction you go for study, for work. And, yeah, so you are commanded to pray about all things, small things. You might have lost something you cannot find. I know those examples. I know by experience that where we humbly kneel before the Lord, that He can provide. Help us. Answer our prayers. Does it happen always immediately? No, the Lord is wise and good. He does it in His time and His way. Oh, how good it is to have such a humble life of depending on the Lord. That you need the Lord in all things for soul and body. Yeah. Prayer is like a total surrendering to the Lord in all aspects of life. A surrendering, a dedication to Him, a depending on Him. You could say it is that Christ is my King. He is my priest. He is everything to me. He is the one who is ruling my life and my heart. Let us first sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 117, stanza 1 through 4. 117, stanza 1. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. 117, all stanzas. congregation, there's not only a real need concerning our soul, but also concerning our body, the physical things. We cannot do anything without the Lord. If the Lord would take our breath away, we do not live anymore. If the Lord will not give us wisdom, we cannot do our work. If the Lord will not provide, then we have nothing. Everything we have received from the Lord. And so we have to acknowledge that. And there's such a horrible, a terrible hindrance, and that is pride. We are so inclined to be proud about what we are and have and can do, and then we do not submit to the Lord. We do not depend on the Lord. We do not glorify Him, but we bring glory to ourselves. It's a hindrance to prayer. Pride. So pride has to be broken. Pride has to be broken. And the Lord knows ways to do that. The Lord knows ways to humble us before Him. It says in Psalm 34, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. And it says in Isaiah 66, for all those things hath mine hand made. So that's what God says. And all those things have been, said the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. And so there are many more verses in Scripture that teach us about the right attitude to be near to the Lord. Is the attitude of humility. You can say the word, but let it be in your heart. And you say, well, how can I do that? I feel my heart is proud and it is hard. Well, that's good that you are aware of it, because that's true in our natural heart for all of us. And so confess that before the Lord. It's His work to humble sinners before Him. And we need that so much. And Christ says here in this scripture part, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, all other things that you need for daily life, they shall be added unto you. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's think about what that means. Can you explain it to me? What does it mean, seek ye first the kingdom of God? We have to understand it if you want to do it. Seek ye first. It's a matter of priority. To seek the kingdom of God is a matter of prayer. But how do we seek the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Maybe you say, well, that's heaven. And I hope that I will enter heaven and be there for all eternity. So I am seeking to receive that. Well, there's some truth in that, but it's more. Kingdom of God is not only something in the future. It's not something for eternity, something after this life. No, seek ye first the kingdom of God is here and now. What is the kingdom of God? You could say that God is king. We can all understand that. That God is king in your life. That you could say to be under the dominion of the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God in your personal life. Seek to live a life with God as the king of your life. You understand that? You see it better now? Or to say it in other words, that Christ will be the king in your heart. He sometimes said, your heart is like the boardroom of your life. There we make the decisions. From the heart are the issues of life. Now let Christ be, I say it with reverence, the chairman in that boardroom. That he is the one who is sitting at the throne in your heart. He is the one ruling your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek a life where Christ is ruling. In other words, a life that is in submission to the Lord. Yeah, I know that, Pastor, and that's what I do. Really? Are you doing that? Did you think about the fact that means you are not on the throne anymore? You're not ruling your own life? You gave it out of your hands in the hands of the Lord? Yeah, that's not a natural thing. That's against my nature. I want to be in control of my life. I want to do things my own way. And I want to follow my own desires. And that has to change. So seek that. Seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek a life where Christ is in control. How can that happen? What does it really mean? How can Christ be the king of my heart? How is Christ ruling people? Well, he does it by his word and by the Holy Spirit. So it is a life in obedience to the word of God. And that's not a fruit of your own heart. So we need the Holy Spirit to incline our hearts, to change our will. And then you live a life in submission to the Lord. It is his work. It's the work of Christ himself by his Spirit. And that's a wonder. Now I see it even clearer that my pride has to be broken. It's a life of faith. If you do not trust the Lord, he will not be king in your heart. Do you really trust him? By nature, we trust ourselves. I want to be in control. I want to make the decisions. Then I'm sure that it is going my way and the best way. No. No. You did not understand that your heart is deceitful. I hope you have learned that lesson. And if you have learned that lesson, you say, I don't want to be in control at all. Because if I am in control, I ruin my life. That's what I've done. And I will continue to do. Lord, be my Savior. Be it by being my King. Take over, Lord. Please, I beseech thee, take over control in my life. I cannot control myself. I do not have the self-discipline. Do you? Really, do you? No, you don't. You need Christ to be the King of your heart. You need to pray. You need to seek the kingdom of God. It's such a happy life. It's such a joyful life. Let's say you have a business and you have worked yourselves in a deep debt, guilt. You cannot pay your bills anymore. There's a pile of bills on your desk. And there you're sitting. Your head is hanging. You're desperate. And never can never pay all these bills. Someone knocking at your door and says, well, I have a proposal for you. Let me take over your business. You wouldn't do that if your business was doing well. Why would I do that? But now you say, oh, please, are you willing to do that? Really? But look what I have here. This whole pile of bills that I cannot pay. I'll deal with it. I take care of it. That would be your most joyful day, isn't it? A burden would be taken away. That's it. Lord, be my king. I've ruined it. I don't know how to control this, to solve it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the righteousness of the kingdom of God. The righteousness of Christ. You can understand it in two ways. To know that the righteousness of Christ is yours. imputed to you, I give it to you. You need righteousness to stand before a holy God, and here it is. It is a free gift. It is imputed to you. You're counted righteous for Christ's sake. So this man enters your office and says, give me that pile of bills that you cannot pay. I take it. And here's my checkbook. So here. What an exchange, isn't it? There's the exchange of faith. I get his righteousness. And he takes my guilt. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. A pastor, does it not mean the righteousness of our behavior? Well, that's connected to it. You know, when you have received out of Christ everything you need for salvation, then you want to live like he is teaching you in his word. Your life will be transformed. You have the intention and the desire to obey him. Would you not love such a person who enters your office to take over your business? You would love him and want to please him. You will have a desire to please the Lord, to obey him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. God is not lying. God will provide in your need. You bring it all to the Lord in prayer. He will do it his way because he's king. He's in control. He's free to do that. But he will do it. He's faithful. He will not fail you. Do you trust the Lord? Do you have faith? Do you pray? Do you have faith for your soul and your body? Look to Christ. You see him praying. Father, if it is possible, take this cup away. And then he gives the great example. But not my will be done, but thy will. And he takes my punishment. And so that I could be blessed. And that submission will be the fruit of faith. Not my will be done, but thy will. I will live a life of prayer. But in that confidence, in that trust that Christ has provided for my soul, I will continue to do that, and for my body. He will never fail me for all eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast commanded us to pray. And Lord, that thou hast been giving us the example in Christ. Oh, he has been praying in the dust, sweating blood, because of the burden of guilt and sin laid upon him by his dear Father. And he was willing. He was in submission. He was totally man. And he did submit to God. God was the king of his heart, his life. Thy will be done. Lord, give us that attitude in our hearts. And Lord, we plead. And thou would teach us to pray so that thou will be glorified. Lord, we thank thee for this day and for thy word. And Lord, we pray that thou would give us, that we take it with us in this new week. And Lord, that we will have that tender life of depending on thee in the fear of the Lord, in childlike fear, a life of prayer. Lord, that we pray all things from thee, like Christ has been teaching his disciples and giving them the example. Lord, we pray, keep us when we go home on the dangerous roads. And keep us also, Lord, this night and this new week, and help us in all the tasks and duties that we have, and Lord, that we may daily look unto thee for help and guidance, for salvation and comfort for our souls. And Lord, we pray that thou would show thy work, and thy church would flourish also in our days. Forgive our sins, Lord, and hear us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.